Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. And the message that we have for today is entitled, The Hands of the Artist. Now, of course, when you see the color of the title in your bulletin, it is pink. So you already can guess what it was that artist that we are talking about. But, wait, it's not as obvious as you may think it is. First, let's define the word artist. The word art is where the word artist comes from, of course. Art is a skill that a people developed by learning and also by practicing. Most of the time today when we talk about art, we basically talking about someone who paints a picture. In Latin, artem, it means a skill, a business, a craft. In Greek, they have artisan, which means to prepare. What I found amazing is the prefix AR on that word actually means to fit together, to put pieces together, details, put a lot of details together and make into an art, a piece, a masterpiece. And so this is the prefix AR is where comes the word arma. In Latin, arma means a weapon or something was put together and became a weapon. That's where the word army comes from. You know, arm means someone who puts together a weapon in order for defend or to be an aggressor. And that's what army, the word army comes from the Latin arma, means weapon. Art is a skill in scholarship and learning as well. You know, some of you went to college and you got yourself a Bachelor of Arts. And you may ask, what that in the world that means, a BA, what that means? Of course, that is a reference to you got the skill, you were able now with a Bachelor of Arts. What it means is implied that now you have the ability to put pieces together. You have a skill, you have a knowledge to be able to put things together to make a better picture. Of course, also, there is an expression they call the supreme art. The supreme art is a traditional statement of certain religious truth prepared and passed on from age to age, modified by individual artists from time to time, but never abandoned. Because what is supreme and is from God will last forever. And so it's passed on piece by piece, but it's passed on from generation to generation. Now, when we talk about art, some names come to our mind. Great artists, people that are known all over the world. We mentioned last week Leonardo da Vinci. You know, Leonardo da Vinci, every time people think about him, they think about the Mona Lisa. They think about the Last Supper. But actually, Leonardo da Vinci was such a genius that more than 500 years ago, he had sketches of airplanes, of motor vehicles. And that is mind-boggling how he was able to come up with some concepts 500 years ago. We all have heard, we have heard the name Vincent van Gogh. Well, one that most of us have heard, Michelangelo. He was not only a sculptor, a painter, but he was a very, very talented architect. Do you remember he's the one who sculpture that is famous all over the world of David? The piece is so real that you stand before the statue, it can almost say, speak. But with all his talents, with all his skills, it was not possible for him to come alive. All that he could do is the form and expressions, but not life. You have heard about Claude Monet, Pablo Picasso, Raphael, and the list goes on and on, and this is just from a few centuries ago. If we travel throughout the history, there are so many that were not even mentioned and are not even known. For example, those that built the walls and the arts or the gardens and all the details about the old mighty Babylon and all the other empires throughout the ages in many different countries. Every country have talent, people, artists. Every single culture have artists. And the names are not only now artists, but there is a vast list. I did a research and I saw hundreds of lists in a list of females artists as well. And here are just four to mention. Elizabeth Louis Vigier-Lebrun from France, from the 18th century. There's Mary Cassatt, an American from the last century. Georgia O'Neill, Augusta Savage, which was an Afro-American sculptress from the last century as well. And the list, again, I said, goes on and on. And this morning, Brother Cleveland was mentioned that he traveled to Egypt. Everyone, when thinks about Egypt, see the picture of the Sphinx of Giza in Egypt. The presidents on the mountain Rushmore. Or every one of us, and is known around the world, the gift that we receive from the French. We receive a lot of things from the French, but we receive a gift, a statue. It was called the Liberty Enlightening the World, or traditionally known the Statue of Liberty. The French also gave a gift to Brazil, right there in Rio, with his arms stretched out, looking at the bay. It is Christ the Redeemer. And you travel around the world and you see monuments after monuments. We can tell that every single land has talents, have artists. But the artist that I would like to bring to you, your attention today, is a very unique artist. Let's see first the creative hands, because what makes an artist is that their hands are creative. They touch and things come to life. Open your Bibles, please. Yes, please open your Bibles. Isaiah 48, verse 13. The version that I'll be using is New Century Version for this verse. Again, Isaiah 48, verse 13. It says, I, meaning the Lord, I made the earth with my own hands. With my right hand, I spread out the skies. When I call them, they come together before me. In one other version, it says, when I call the stars, they all come before me. When he calls his creation, they all bow down before him. Those are the creative hands of God. You can imagine he's stretching his hands around the universe and with his gesture, like a painter would strike a canvas, things comes to life. Those are the hands, the creative hands of the Almighty One. Psalms 19, verse 1, same version, New Century Version. Psalms 19, verse 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the Creator, and the skies announce what His hands has made. If we go out in nature, we can see the creative hands of the Almighty One. The Bible also talks about those hands have a personal touch. And that's what every excellent, great artist has. All the artists they have is that they have a personal touch. As they paint, the way they do is they're unique. In order to see this personal touch of God in Almighty, we must visit the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Let me read a verse before that one. Let's read Isaiah 64, verse 8. Let's read that first in a New Living Translation. It says like this, "And yet, O Lord, you are our Father, our Creator, our Abba. We are the clay." And you can see in the bulletin cover, we have a woman shaping a pot. And I was thinking about this verse when I put that picture on the bulletin and a mother's hand holding the baby's hand. That's the description of our bulletin cover. We are the clay and you are the potter. We all are formed by your hand. In this day and age when so many people are not using too much, are not showing too much respect for a human life, I wonder if they see that every life that is taken, if you call a fetus or you call whatever you want to call it, it is an work of art from God's hand. It says, formed by his own hand. Now let's go to Genesis 2, verse 7, New Century Version, chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7. Then the Lord God took dust, and here's the personal hand. He took dust. You can imagine God on his knees going to the ground, grabbing dust from the ground. And then, like the potter shaped, he formed a man from it. Then, after he had formed, he put his breath, the breath of life, into the man's nose. And then the man became a living person, a masterpiece. No one else could have made a better artwork. And I'm biased because I'm human, and I like to know that God has taken the time to turn us into his own creation, his personal work of art. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, verse 21, and verse 22, in the New Living Translation, there is one more detail that I would like to bring to your attention. It says, "Then the Lord God said," you know, Adam is a masterpiece, but there's something lacking. There's something missing here. So he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So the work is not complete. In order to finish my work, there's another personal touch that I have to include. So he said, I will make a helper for this man. I will make a helper who is just right for him. In other words, it will match perfectly. So, verse 21, it says, "So the Lord God, the Creator, caused man to fall asleep, into a deep sleep. And as he was sleeping, the Lord took out one of man's ribs and then closed the opening." In verse 22, it says, "And the artist, the Lord God, the Creator, made a woman from that rib. And he brought her to the man." And as you know, I always mention this, when the man opened his eyes, all that he could say is, "Wow, womb." And he was fascinated by that piece of art that a mighty artist was able to create. In Genesis 1 verse 31, New Living Translation says, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." In Psalms 139:13, New King James, it says, "For you, Lord, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." That's how God's work. But then that same hands, there are creative hands, are also protective hands. By the way, when I'm using these attributes of God, I want you all mothers to understand that they all apply to you, because you are a reflection of those creative hands that God has put to work. You are also a reflection of God's protective hands as you use your hands not only to shape the life of your children, but also you use your hands to protect them, to teach them love, to teach them the importance of being what they are. Psalms 63, verse 8, New Century Version says, "I stay close to you. You support me with your right hand." Imagine a child saying this to mom. "Mom, I stay close to you because you protect me." Yes, you can see that all those Bible verses that I'm using applies to God, but it can clearly apply to the other artist that we call mom. Isaiah 41:10, which is very, very, very common. People know very well this verse, also applies to a mom. Can you imagine a mom saying to her little frightened little child, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your mom. I'm the one who will give you strength. I will be helping you. I will uphold you with my right hand." Yes, the Bible says, "Fear not, for I am with you." That's God speaking. "Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You see how can that apply to a mother if a child is talking to his own mom? Also in the New King James Version, Psalms 18 verse 35, it says, "You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has helped me, has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great." Can you see how that applies to a mother? "You also have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great." Oh, brothers and sisters, the gentle the mother is, the greater their children will be. Their children become a reflection of the gentle spirit of their own mothers. In Psalms 91, verse 1 all the way through 6, I'm reading from New Century Version, "The safety in the Lord. Those who go to God Most High for safety will be protected by the Almighty." You can see how that applies to a mother. A child who runs to the arms of the mother for safety will be protected by those mighty arms. "I will say to the Lord, you are my place of safety and protection. You are my God, and I trust you." Can you imagine a child saying to the mother, "You are the place of safety and protection for me. I trust you, Mom." Verse 3, "God will save you from hidden traps and from deadly diseases." Can you hear a mother telling the child, "Don't do this, you can get hurt. Don't touch this, this will hurt you." Verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you can hide. His truth will be your shield and protection. Can you imagine? This is a symbol of a hen trying to bring under her feathers her little chicks to protect them. God is using here a female hen to as example how he protects his children. Same as a mother who extends her arms and shield their children. You will not fear any danger by night or any arrow during the day. You can imagine a child is time to go to bed, but that child has a mother who say, don't fear, everything will be all right, good night, and receive that kiss, and that is a guarantee that everything will be okay. In verse 6, you will not be afraid of disease that come in the dark or sickness that strikes at noon. How many times a child runs to the mom because he got hurt, and all that takes is a kiss, and the pain goes away. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, New Century Version, he says, be humble under God's powerful hand, so he will lift you up when the right time comes. How that wonderfully applies to a mother as she relates to her child as well. The third factor is the healing hands. In Luke chapter 4, verse 40, New Century Version, when the sun went down, meaning sunset, the people brought those who were sick to Jesus, Abba, the Creator, putting his hands on each sick person, he healed every one of them. They can imagine these people going through the whole Sabbath, anxious for the sundown so that they could go to Jesus. Because the church at that time wrongly was teaching that Jesus could not heal on the Sabbath. He did heal a lot of people on the Sabbath, but these people were waiting for the Sabbath. They were obeying their church leaders, waiting for, you can imagine how anxious they were. And then when they came, Jesus put his hands on them, their healing hands, and each person, every single person, were healed that day. John 10, verse 29, New King James Version says, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Yes, those leaders could keep those sick people away from Jesus for a few hours, but once the sun went down, the S-U-N went down, the S-O-N came up. And there was healing on his light. Ephesians 2, verse 10, New Living Translation, he says, for we are God's masterpiece. Oh yes, each child is also their mother's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned us to do long time ago. The next aspect that I would like to show about these gifted hands are the ability to provide. Yes, God provides, so mom provides as well. In Psalms 23, verse 1 all the way to 6, New Century Version, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Can you imagine a child, a little child who has not known the Lord yet, all that he knows or she knows about the Lord is what he sees or she sees in the face of his or her beloved mom. He says, my mom is who leads me. My mom is the one who provides for me. I have everything I need. In verse 2 it says, He, God, lets me rest in green pastures. He leads me to calm waters. Verse 3, He gives me new strength. He leads me on the path that are right for the good of His own name. You can see that all that applies to the relationship between a child and his artist mom, or her artist mom. Verse 4, even if I walk through the valley of a dark valley, I will not be afraid because you are with me. Your rod and your shepherd's staff comfort me. And verse 5 says, you prepare a meal for me. Yes, you prepare a meal for me. Yes, every mother prepared thousands of meals. You pour oil of blessing on my head. You can see a mother provide them a meal, giving a bath, provide the anointing of her careful care for that little precious work of art that God put in her hand and that she's shaping into a masterpiece. In verse 6 it says, surely your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Many things fade away, but our love for our mothers, it stays forever. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23, I'm going to use this verse in relation to what Psalms 23 verse 5 says, you prepare a meal for me. So now we go to Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 and 23. Here's a recipe, mothers, here's a recipe for a grapefruit salad. I call it a grapefruit meal. You can serve your children and you must serve your children. It is delicious. Let me read. Verse 22 says, but the Holy Spirit produced this kind of fruit in our lives. So here are the fruits that you must put in this salad and serve to your children. There is the fruit called love. There is a very essential fruit for the good health of every child, joy, peace. And every child needs a lot of this patience. Yes, children need in their salad, their fruit salad, they need the kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and of course, the salad will not be perfect if it doesn't have self-control. There is no law against this. So sisters, moms, here's a great recipe for you for a great fruit meal. A great food salad. Serve for your children and they will be delighted. Make sure that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and of course self-control is served to your children. And you will have a masterpiece in your hands. Then, the next stage, another reflection of a hand is guiding. The hand creates, protects, provides, and the hand's guide, instructs. In Psalm 16, verse 11, Contemporary English Version, it says, you have shown me the path of life, and you make me glad by being near to me. Sitting at your right side, I will always be joyful. Oh, this verse applies to a mom in a relationship with her child 100%. Yes, mom, you have shown me the path of life. You brought me to life, and you guide me through life. And you make me glad by being just near to me, to receive the warmth of your hug, of your kisses, the expression of your love, and how much precious I am for you. Sitting at your right side, I will always be joyful. I envy those of you that were raised by a mother. I do. All that I know about a mother is what I have seen my wife in her masterful work as she dedicated her own life to the children that the Lord grant to us. I have a quote here. This is about a little boy. His name, Johnny. Johnny, one day, decided that he was going to become the one who answered the phone. So the phone in his house started ringing, and he ran. He says, "Oh, okay, I'll take it." He told his siblings, "I'll take, I'll take." So he went to the phone, and he grabbed the phone. And when the voice asked for his, for someone, you know, the last name of his family, he says, "Mom went out. So me and Cindy and Bobby and Danny and Daddy are all home alone." It seems very simple, but this little boy, he believed that if Mom was not at home, they were all alone. Yes, as we sing this, after this message, we'll be singing Love at Home, Mom at Home. Everything is wonderful when Mom is at home. Psalms 127, verse 3, Contemporary English Version says, "Children are a blessing and a gift from the Almighty." Jeremiah 1, verse 5, New Living Translation says, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb." So I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. So the birth of a child is a work of two master artists, the Almighty God and the mighty human being called Mom. "Before you went, you were born, I set you apart." And another verse says, "Set you apart, I made you holy. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." Every child that is born to be a prophet for God, to testify about Him, to tell people about His goodness. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, New Century Version says, "Remember my words with your whole being. Write them down and tie them to your hands as a sign. Tie them on your foreheads to remind you. Have them in your mind and your hands. Remember my words." I can see a mother saying to her children, to their her loved child, remember my teachings. Write them down. Have them in your mind. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, New Living Translation says, "Direct your children unto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it." In a book, Child Guidance, a great mother wrote, in page 24, "The special instructor given for every child, the mother must ever stand prominently in this work of training their children. While grave and important duties rest upon the father, the mother, the most constant association with her children, especially during their tender years, must always be their special instructor and companion." Ellen G. White, Child Guidance. In Proverbs 31:26, New Living Translation says, "When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with guidance," talking about a perfect woman, a perfect mother. Proverbs 1 verse 8, New Living Translation, "My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction, because they are life, brothers and sisters. Pay attention to what your mom has to say." In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, New Century Version, "I find a perfect example of all that has been said this morning." Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was still a young man. And this is what Paul told him: "I remember your true faith, that faith first lived in your grandmother, or the mother of your mother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And I know you now have that same faith." Yes, the grandmother had the faith. She taught her daughter very well. And now the daughter is passing on the same faith to her kid named Timothy. Abraham Lincoln was well known for total abstinence from alcohol. He didn't use alcohol at all in his life. According to one well-known story, he was once offered a drink by one of his colonel, you know, from his military. Lincoln responded by telling the man that when his mother was on her deathbed, she has called him to her bedside, and he was 9 years old. And she made him promise that he would never take a drink in his life of alcohol. Then Abraham said to this colonel, "I promised my mother that I would never, never would. And up to this hour, I have kept this promise. Would you, colonel, advise me to break that promise?" The colonel quickly responded, "No, no, Mr. President. Of course not. I wouldn't have you to do it for the whole world. It was one of the best promises that you have ever made in your life. I would give $1,000, of course, that time was a lot of money, a fortune. I would give a fortune today if I had made my mother a promise like that, and I would have kept it. How much damage alcohol has done to my life, how much hurt and how much headaches I have got because of that, I wish I had made such a promise." Brothers and sisters, in conclusion for the message this morning, we like to honor every woman that chose to be a mother. Every woman that chose to be guided by God, by the holy hands of God, and has accepted the responsibility to become an artist, to shape lives that shapes the world. After sin, God made a change in the world. And one of the changes that he made that was the most remarkable of all the changes that he made is that he gave to a woman the greatest responsibility given to any human being. He told the woman, "I want an artist. I want someone to shape every human life, to guarantee that the future, there is hope in the future, to guarantee that life goes on. And I choose you, woman, to be a mother, to be an artist. I will give you the skills. I will provide you the wisdom, the tools that you need to make a masterpiece." Yes, brothers and sisters, since then, every goodness in our lives is the reflection of the sacred work of the hands of a gifted artist that shaped us to what we have become. as the Proverbs 31 says, give her the fruits of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. What gates are those? Yes, I would like to think that the gates here should be applied for the gates of heaven. I imagine a mother finishing her work, her masterpiece. And in the corner of her masterpiece, of this canvas called her child, she decides to sign. Not her name that she got at birth, but a new name that she got when her child was born. She now is known with this beautiful title, Mom. So she takes the brush and she starts to write, signing. After she finished the work, she starts signing, Mom. And then from above, God looks down and sees, and the angels as well see what she's signing. And because they are looking from above, they don't see the word mom. What they see is wow. Wow. Then God saw everything that she had made. And indeed, it was very good. Wow. May the Lord bless the artists that He provide in this world. May God give them the wisdom to know that it is awesome talent that God has given to each mother. It is greater than any other talent, than any other artist on the past or the future may have. You may not receive that recognition with enough gratitude, but please have in your mind that no one among humans has been chosen to apply the attributes of God. You are the hands of God, the creative hands of God. All the masterpieces that you have produced, let all that be for the glory of the Almighty. To you, moms, I say, wow. Good job. Well done. You are an artist. God bless.